from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning in our opening segment, we'll focus on proposed action against Russia to protest what is being described as anti-gay laws in that nation. And then we'll key in on legislation here in California, which would make it the nation's only state to permit non-citizens to serve on juries. Forum is next. Join us for the hour after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. President Obama is headed to Russia this week for the G20 summit, and human rights activists are pressing him to take a tough stance against the anti-gay legislation Russian President Vladimir Putin signed into law in June. Here in California, State Senator Mark Leno has introduced a resolution urging California's largest pension funds to ban future investments in Russia. Leno says the new laws, quote, promote the ongoing persecution of LGBT people in that country, end of quote. And in this morning's opening forum segment, we want to focus on the ongoing debate. Earlier this morning, I spoke with Senator Leno.
It came to my attention recently, Michael, that the California Retirement Fund, CalPERS, has joined a partnership in an investment in the largest shopping mall in downtown Moscow to the tune of upwards of $250 million initially, could go much higher. And it just seemed to me at this particular time, we should not be investing any further, we as a state of California, in Russia while these hateful laws are still on the books, and use, potentially leverage, what power that we have with Russia. And of course, it may be somewhat symbolic, though I can tell you that the New York legislature has recently introduced a similar piece of legislation. And if other states were to do the same, in fact, if other countries were to do the same, we could seriously derail their ability to grow their economy, and they might wake up to realize there are international ramifications. And quite surprisingly, at least to me, within a couple of weeks of our introducing this resolution, I did get a letter from the Consul General of Russia in San Francisco complaining that this was not the way to proceed.
There are other countries, though, that have strong laws against homosexuality and, in fact, are homophobic. This sort of singles out Russia, and it singles out Russia in many ways that, in fact, you mentioned the Consul General, that the Consul General says are unfair because they're trying to protect juveniles. This is their culture, and they're doing it their way.
Well, you know, this is not a new argument. We've, as an LGBT community fighting for our civil rights for the past half century, have always had to argue, whether it was John Briggs in 1976 or any other number of adversaries we've had since then. And, of course, recent commercials in 2008 promoting Proposition 8, it's always been about protecting the children because, of course, there's something nefarious, dangerous, fearful, wicked about anything that has to do with homosexuality. These are old canards. Putin is clearly pandering to the very population that was by the hundreds of thousands in the streets of Russia last year protesting him. And he's, through for political expediency, playing to their lowest fears right now.
You're saying he's scapegoating.
And we are the scapegoat. It is pure historical scapegoating.
And this endangers LGBT parents, as you see. It holds them accountable for holds gay couples even accountable for holding hands or wearing a rainbow pin or kissing, anything like that.
Exactly. The law is written so very ambiguously, it can be used any way that they would like. So there's a real threat here. And I thought it was notable that in the letter that we received, the Consul General uses the words such as penalize and punish, that we should not be doing this to them. So I think we have struck a nerve. In fact, their economy is struggling right now. Their oil revenues are stable, if not declining. They're in great need of foreign and international investment. So I think we do have some leverage here. And with regard to why Russia, there are countries that treat LGBT people and all sorts of other minorities even worse than Russia. I think what is attracting so much attention, whether it's boycotting Russia vodka or other consumer products, it's Russia has proactively put itself on the center of the international stage by applying for and then becoming the host of the next Winter Olympics. And if they choose to do so, then they have to be prepared to accept international criticism for what they're doing to their own citizens.
That was Senator Mark Leno, sponsor of the legislation urging state pension funds to ban future investments in Russia. We spoke with him earlier this morning. And the BBC's Moscow correspondent, Steve Rosenberg, has been covering the violence against the gay and lesbian community in Russia, and he spoke recently to the owner of a gay bar there.
At the Lighthouse Cabaret Club in Sochi, the city that will host the 2014 Winter Olympics, the music is loud, the tobacco smoke thick in the air, and the dance floor packed with gay couples enjoying an evening out. It's a relaxed atmosphere, and from the smiles and the open displays of affection here, you may think that being gay in Russia is problem-free. But the club's owner, Andrei, tells a different story.
In Russia, there is growing hostility towards homosexuals. It's becoming more dangerous on the streets. So many gays here have changed how they dress, they've removed earrings, changed their hairstyles to avoid problems. Even back in the USSR, where homosexuality was criminalized, gays were treated better than they are now in Russia. Ordinary people consider us criminals. They hate us.
That was BBC's Steve Rosenberg. Now we'll debate Senator Leno's proposal with our guests. Our guest here in studio, Julie Dorff, is Senior Advisor for the Council for Global Equality. Good morning, Julie Dorff.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And joining us by phone this morning is Andren Megranian. He is Director of the Institute for Democracy and Cooperation, which is a Russian-funded think tank in New York. Dobre utro. Thank you for joining us.
Dobre utro.
Let me begin with you, if I may, Andranik Megranian. Senator Leno mentioned the Russian consul general here in San Francisco, Sergei Petrov, who said that this is about protecting children and that in 1993 there were equal rights granted to homosexuals in Russia. That was a decade before the U.S. banned anti-sodomy laws. So from the perspective of the consul general, this action that's being taken by Senator Leno and others is, well, inappropriate.
I absolutely agree with Consul General, and when I heard the guy, this Andrei, who said that now it's even worse than under Soviet period, it's just nonsense because, you know, we had a law which criminalized them in Soviet period, and now Russia is, in this sense, much more tolerant to sexual minorities and to minorities. And the problem is that this has nothing to do with homophobia. This really is only an act to protect the kids from controversial thing, which is in Russian society perceived as a controversial, because Russian society is conservative society, and according to polls, 80% of population are against homosexualism and this propaganda. And if democracy means something, overwhelming majority of population is protecting this law. And if people are hostile to gays, government has nothing to do with this. Government is just protecting them against the majority. That's the problem. They have to thank government for this kind of actions, to protect them, rather than be anti-government and call everybody to punish the government.
It is.
This is so stupid because, you know, until now, this is absolutely true thing that the only person in Russia who is European is government. This is the famous formula crafted by Pushkin, the greatest Russian poet in 19th century.
But I'm also aware, as I'm sure you are, of reports of hate crimes up in Russia and public persecution of LGBT on the rise in Russia. In fact, if you go back to polls in the early 90s, pre-Gorbachev polls, it's rather astonishing to see that over 30% of Russia Russian citizens asked then said they believe gays should be executed. I mean, this is remarkable in any terms of homophobia. And should there be laws on the book which can apply, for example, to foreign nationals who are there or people who are visiting Russia who might be in some way openly homosexual, gay, lesbian, etc.?
Listen, in this country, recently I was in Washington in a seminar, and one of the participants said, told that across the river in Virginia, you still have laws not eliminated from your criminal codes, criminalizing homosexuality, which means you passed a long way on this road. Russia is very young in this sense, and Russian society is not ready for open manifestation of homosexualism in streets and public places. That's why Russian society is trying to be more tolerant, and authorities are trying to create favorable conditions for, you know, coexistence of different kind of people. But at this moment, Russian law is banning just open manifestation and imposition of their way of life, which is not accepted by the majority. This is exactly the case. Nobody is banning homosexuals from their way of life. But the basic idea is, listen, we left you alone, leave us alone.
That's essentially exactly your position. This. Leave us alone and we leave you alone. Andrenik Megranian, I think, has summed it up, at least in terms of the official Russian position. And he, again, is director of the Institute for Democracy and Cooperation, which is a Russian-funded think tank in New York City. Julie Dorf is here with us in studio. She's senior advisor for the Council for Global Equality. What about that argument that, you know, this is our culture, leave us alone, we'll leave you alone? And how can you prove that this is, as Senator Leno said, an active hate campaign of scapegoating on the part of Putin?
This is pure government doublespeak. The situation is clearly worsening for the LGBT community in Russia. Not only is there this new anti-gay federal law, but there's been a whole host of other laws that have gone into play that have impacted the LGBT community, including the foreign agents law, which has effectively shut down LGBT groups in St. Petersburg. The treason law is hanging over their heads, and there's threats of a number of worse laws that that members of Putin's own party have suggested, including from the head of the Committee on Families, about banning LGBT people from donating organs upon death.
And actually, gay parades have been banned from Moscow for a century, hence, from this point. But what do you say, for example, to the Robbie Roberts, a name many of our listeners know, who's a Galaxy Major League Soccer player, says he's openly gay, and he says, I would go to the Olympics. I'm gay, and I would go there like Jesse Owens went, you know, back when the Nazis were saying black people were inferior and descended from the apes. I would go to represent my country and represent proudly as a gay, openly gay man.
Well, we need people to really stand up and show solidarity at the Olympics, government officials, athletes, corporate sponsors, etc. There's a number of restrictions. I mean, Putin
just— Excuse me, aren't you in favor of not participating in the Winter Olympics because of these laws in Russia?
No, I'm actually in favor of showing solidarity with the groups on the ground and the community on the ground, which has asked very explicitly not to boycott the Olympics, but to stand against homophobia. I think it's critical that as the growing global consensus is in favor of LGBT basic human rights, that Russia is embarrassed and seen as part of the withering minority in the world. I mean, it's not a coincidence that they're banning non-traditional sexual relations. That's the parallel to what they're doing at the UN, promoting their quote-unquote traditional values resolution. And we need to show it for what it really is.
Well, let me bring our listeners into this. We're talking about the decisions, actually a number of, not only a resolution that has been introduced by Senator Mark Leno, urging California's largest pension funds to ban future investments in Russia. And at issue are new Russian laws that Leno says promote the ongoing persecution of LGBT people in that country. But local activists are also calling on companies like Coca-Cola to pull their sponsorship of the Winter Olympics Games in Russia. And recent San Francisco protests have targeted the Russian consulate and the Russian Orthodox Church, which is backing these new laws. How do you feel about this? And, well, there's also an international Miss Universe pageant that's set to be in Russia. There's a lot of talk about not buying Russian vodka. How far should this boycott go, and how much protest should be really enacted as a result of the laws in Russia? And should we maybe, as some would argue, just mind our own business and realize that there is all this kind of homophobia all over the world, and we have our own problems with homophobia in this country? Let me invite you to join us. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your involvement in this. So please feel free to call us now. It's a half-hour segment, so if you have something you want to say or contribute to join the conversation with any questions or comments, call now, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. We asked on Facebook, how, if at all, do you think California should react to Russia's new anti-gay laws? And I'm just going to read some of the responses. Hillary says, I think we have to remember we have had our own discriminatory laws on and off the books for a long time in our own country. Didn't we just have an issue with Prop 8 and DOMA? I think Russia and its people have to figure it out like we have, and the game should go on. And Amrit writes, let us lead again. Maybe the rest of the country and then the world will take action. Natasha says, I think we have to practice taking the stick out of our eye first. And Lucy writes on our website, I wonder if Russian politicians ever considered introducing a resolution urging Russia's largest pension funds to ban future investments in the United States, given the grotesque human rights abuses enacted against mostly African Americans in our for-profit prison system. We have the largest per capita prison population in the world, made up of the poor who cannot afford U.S. justice. Who are we to point the finger at Russia? They terrorize gays. We keep on terrorizing blacks. That sort of ties in, I suppose, with your reasoning, Andrik Magranian?
Yeah, I think, you know, the problem is that American conscience is very strange. And American conscience, or at least the people like Leno and might be my colleague who is on air right now, they are out of history, out of touch with the reality. They are not thinking in concerning these events in a historic context. You can't pass legislation here in this country and next day expect that the world will follow you. All countries have their own history, their traditions, their you know, habits and customs, which means you are here today because 100 years ago you started this process, or 50 years ago, and which means it's so naive, so primitive, and this is a kind of manifestation of some, in some cases, idiocy, you know. We do this and you have to do that. It's imposition of your vision, your perception, your way of life. That's why, you know, in many places in the world, a lot of people are very unhappy for American meddling into their internal affairs. Which means, if, of course, Russia had a law really prosecuting, not letting homosexuals to live with one another, and all these kind of things, it could have some reason, you know, to oppose this. But you, if you are not doing this against China, you are not doing this in Arab world, in the best allies of United States, Saudi Arabia, and many other countries, and you are targeting Russia, it is hypocrisy, it's double standard, and it's idiocy.
And what do you say to that, Julie Dorf, the double standard again? And also the argument that Mark Leno made, that this is just Vladimir Putin scapegoating.
I absolutely agree with Senator Leno. It is scapegoating. It isn't unique to Russia. And thankfully, we now have a government in the United States that does call country after country on their homophobic legislation and policies, and does have a foreign policy that is relatively consistent vis-a-vis LGBT human rights. No country is perfect, including our own. As former Secretary Clinton said to the world in Geneva in 2011, our own country is on a trajectory. We're inviting a conversation with the world on a difficult subject, granted. But if you were to replace non-traditional sexual relations in this law with black people or Jews, the entire world would be on Russia. for such an injustice. For some reason, anti-gay laws throughout the world and the scapegoating of a vulnerable, unpopular minority is somehow still acceptable?
Let me bring our callers in. We go first to Wes. Wes, join us. You're on.
Hi. I think it's important to be careful about Putin is a dictator that uses these social agendas to hide his real agendas, which are economic, and to increase fear. So the best thing to do is to focus on the economic, getting him economically. And if you battle him on the social issues, then it is just beneficial to him because it increases his power, because that's based on fear of attacking Mother Russia.
So you would like to see maybe a boycott of vodka and that sort of thing, but not necessarily taken to the kind of...
Well, it has to be effective. The vodka boycott is not effective because it doesn't affect Russia's core interests. It needs to be either a boycott of the, you know, of the economics around the oil, or the economics around the, the games.
You heard Senator Leno. There's a lot of money in these pension funds, and it would go, and some of it is going directly to the Russian economy. But Wes, I appreciate your call. I want to actually read an email from Tony, who says, I get a check every month from CalPERS as a 30-plus-year professor who is semi-retired. CalPERS funds are to be managed solely for the benefit of current and future retirees by state law. I don't remember the exact proposition number, but the people of California passed this. Senator Leno should butt out and obey the law. At the same time, I have little sympathy for CalPERS investing in Russia. That economy is best described as a kleptocracy. If only the CalPERS board and management were actually investment professionals. Let me get another caller on, and that's Kua. Good morning. You're on.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, one, I think that the people of the United States have to lead by example and not so much the government. Usually when our government gets involved in economic sanctions, it just hurts the people of those countries. Cuba, as an example, I would hate for gay Russian people to have to suffer even more by certain sanctions that our country is putting. Secondly, I believe that this is a people's movement, and I believe the UN Charter on Human Rights also needs to be updated to include people of different sexual orientation. And I also think it's important that we not try to compare, you know, your guest was saying if these were Jews or Blacks, people would be all on board. And that's not necessarily true, because if that were, we wouldn't be seeing certain things like Trayvon Martin and Oscar Grant happening in this country. I just believe, and also non-traditional, there's nothing non-traditional about the homosexual lifestyle. It has been around since the beginning of life. And it's time that we all just support our fellow human brothers and sisters. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that statement. Appreciate it. And at this point, maybe we can hope for promoting open exchange of views, at least between the United States and Russia. A listener writes, if every nation wanted to be perfect before pointing out another nation's flaws, it would never happen, and I think we'd be worse for it. For example, needed to be perfect. For example, the criticism of Jim Crow by agents of Stalin's Russia did help to spur us to improve, though we still have far to go. Truth is truth, no matter how flawed the teller. We'll have one more call here, and that's Ella from San Francisco. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to, I love what your guest said about leading by example and unifying in solidarity. I think that the best way to go about this is to show up and, you know, be proud of all the gay athletes, all the LGBT, participants and, you know, employees, and really represent kind of what, how far we've come. And even though we have a long way to go, I think leading by example is the only way to go, because I think showing up and, or I think not showing up would be an act of anger, and I think the opposite would be much more effective.
All right, we'll leave it there from a final caller. We have another segment coming up. I want to thank Senator Leno and Andrik Margrananyan and Julie Dorf for enlightening on this, and we will continue to follow this story. We are up ahead going to talk about, should people who are not citizens of the United States be on juries? When we return on Forum, I'm Michael Krasny.